We hear your word, O Lord, and sometimes it does make us a bit uncomfortable, for it sets our expectations on edge, and sometimes even our sense of fairness and justice. But justice is yours, fairness is yours, and you give to us according to your loving providence. So help us to be thankful and content. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, it's a day to study the fine art of human whining. Whining. In the Old Testament, it talks about the murmuring Hebrews. That's another word for whining. In my house growing up, there was one activity that would get you punished quicker than anything else, and that was whining. Daddy would come in and say, "Kenneth," I knew I was in trouble when he called me Kenneth. "Kenneth, it's time to go out and cut the grass." Now, in my house, we did not have a power lawnmower. Daddy distrusted anything that used gasoline or even electricity. So we had one of those rotary push mowers. You remember those things? Boy, that gave you some exercise. Vicki says I need to get a new one. And it was hot, and it was muggy, and it was Atlanta. And Daddy said, "Go out and cut the grass." And the first thing I would say is, "Do I have to?" And then I would notice that he was going back to the bathroom to get the hairbrush. Now, Daddy's hairbrush was a formidable weapon because it never wore out. Daddy was bald as a cue ball, so he had no hair to brush. And I asked him one time, "Daddy, you got no hair. Why do you have a brush?" He said, "I'll show you." Whining. It is a universal human trait. When we're tired, when we're disillusioned, when we're hungry, when we're angry, we will resort to whining unless we have been otherwise trained. You will never hear me whine much. I still got the bristle marks on the back of my backside. Whining. That's what the Hebrews were doing. Oh, that we were back in Egypt, where we sat around the flesh pots and we had filet mignon and we had twice baked potatoes and we had homemade lemon meringue pie. Their memory was sadly altered. The flesh pots in Egypt actually had very little flesh in them. It was kind of a soup, a leek soup, with maybe a little bit of protein thrown in. You know, they weren't going to feed slaves a whole lot of good food. The records indicate that the slaves in Egypt didn't get a whole lot, and not very often either. But you know, your memory changes as time passes. And the bad old days don't seem all that bad anymore. In fact, they seem pretty darn good compared to where you are. And there they were. Oh, that we wish we were back in Egypt. And they complained to Moses. And Moses talked to God. And God said, "They're whining against me." So here's what we're going to do. They will have bread in the morning to eat, and they will have quail in the evening to eat. And so it began in the mornings, except for the Sabbath. Manna would form on the ground, and in the evenings, quail would cover the camp. And you would not be surprised to learn that after a while, they began to complain about that. "I am so sick and tired of quail." and manna. Why can't we have something else? And then they complained about they didn't have any water. So that's a different story. But Moses goes out, strikes a stick against the ground. I believe we're talking about this next Sunday, Massah and Meribah. But the rock springs forth with water. And according to the rabbis, that rock followed them all throughout their travels in the desert. It's an amazing story of God's providence for people. Whining. Well, sometimes it may get you some results, but chances are you're not going to be satisfied with them for long. And then we move to our gospel lesson for today. This is one of my favorite passages. It's about not who earns the most, it's about God's providence for all. You know the story, you just heard it. The landowner goes out at 9 in the morning, or at 6 in the morning, then at 9, then at 12, then at 3, then at 5. And with each progressive visit, he gets laborers who are just a little bit not quite what you need. And by the time you get to the ones who are hired at 5 o'clock, I suspect that they had two groups within them. One is the infirm and the aged and the sick. And the other group is probably those ne'er-do-wells we all suspect when we see people homeless somewhere. Ones who could work but don't want to. The ones you know who are just going to earn just enough for the day so they can go back and sit on their sofa and watch Dr. Phil and drink cheap beer. That's their type, you know. But you know, the owner of the vineyard doesn't look at them that way. At the end of the day, he calls everybody in and he says, that last crew there, yeah, the old folks and the infirm and the sick and the ones who aren't all that interested in working anyway, bring them in and give them a denarius. The denarius was the agreed upon wage of the day. I don't know how much it was exactly worth, but let's say $100. Labor for one day. Now, it wasn't all that great, by the way, because a day's work was 12 hours. So you figure $100 divided by 12, what do you come up with, one of you mathematicians out there? How much? $9 an hour. So you make more these days working at McDonald's if you're getting $15 an hour. I don't think I ever earned that much. $9 an hour. So you're not going to retire wealthy with this. But it was the agreed upon day's wage. Is she checking your math there? You're checking it, okay. Well, but $100 for an hour's work. Now, that's pretty good. I would like that job. So here it comes. And the guys who started at 6 o'clock are saying to themselves, dog. Yes. Yeah, we eat steak tonight. Baby's going to get new shoes. Going to get me a new sport coat. Mama's going to get a new dress. Because I'm going to have $1,200 in my pocket. That's what they expect. And who wouldn't? But when they finally get up to receive their day's wages, they get the denarius. What is going on here? And what do? They whine to the landowner. What in the world are you thinking? Giving us the same as those folk who worked only an hour? We've been out here all day in the scorching heat. And all you're giving us is the same that you give them? And the landowner says, it's enough. It's what we agreed on. And what is it to you if I give the same out of my generosity to those who only worked an hour. It's my money. I'll do with it as I please. And you know, you have no grounds for your whining. What does this teach us? Well, what it teaches me is that God provides for his children what they need. Not always what they think they expect, not always what they want, but always what they need. As I look around us, I don't see anybody here who has missed too many meals, myself included. I have had peanut butter and jelly sandwich probably more often than I really wanted to. And there was one time in seminary when I was so broke waiting for a check the next day, and all we had in the house was one onion. And I cut it up and I boiled it so that people in the apartments around us wouldn't know we were hungry. You know what? That onion tasted pretty darn good. And my neighbors said, "What did y'all have for supper last night? That smelled so good." And I said, "It was a special recipe." Next day, my check came in. We went to the grocery store, and behold, there was meat on the table again. God gives us what we need, not always what we want, not always what we think we deserve. Because truth be told, we sometimes think more of ourselves than we logically should. I'm guilty of that, and I'm sure you are too at times. But the good news is, God provides. It's called providence, and we get exactly what we need. Daddy paid 25 cents an hour. And when he gave me a raise at the age of 15 to 35 cents an hour, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And then I got a job at a Baskin-Robbins ice cream store. $1 an hour. I was in high cotton. And I also got all the ice cream I could eat. I still don't like ice cream. There you are. And he raised me to $1.25, and then $1.75. And when I finally quit and went off to college, I was earning the princely sum of $2 an hour. What I didn't realize was that he was cutting my hours each time he gave me a raise. That's okay. None of us really have anything to complain about in our whining. I'm sure of this, there will be no whining in the kingdom, because part of our personalities as we are perfected in grace is that when we do reach heaven's blissful shore, one of the great blessings will be we shall be content with what we have. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but I take peace in the knowledge that contentment will be one of the greatest blessings we receive. Let us pray together. Oh God, you come to us with blessings in your hand. Forgive us when we ask for more. Forgive us when we're not content with what we have, but rather help us to see that your providence is amazing in and of itself. And you provide for us out of your love rather than out of our deservings. And give us strength and help us to know that all that we do is for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.